baptism of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As previous chapel teachers recorded have already pointed out, even though we aspire to be spiritual leaders of God's people, this does not exempt us from the temptations of Satan and the world around us. We are tempted to covet success and to yield to the desire to be popular teachers. The world recklessly pursues immorality, materialism, and corruption, and we are tempted to think that such pursuits must not really be so bad because everyone seems to be involved. We are tempted to ask, who will listen to the proclamation of God's law? What's the use? What difference does it make? Will an unrepentant sinner really die? As people of God, as leaders and future leaders in Christ's church, we need the instruction, admonition, and encouragement of our text. We are reminded that God's watchmen are to proclaim the full counsel of God. We are to proclaim law and gospel. The ancient watchmen had the present assignment of reporting the good news of the return of a victorious army. He also had the solemn responsibility of warning people of approaching danger. Ezekiel was called and commissioned by the Lord to be a watchman for the house of Israel. The Lord provided, as it were, a job description. Ezekiel was to listen for the Lord's voice. In turn, he was to communicate God's message to the people. Ezekiel was to issue warnings in the Lord's name. He was to urge the wicked, the unbeliever, to turn from his evil ways. Ezekiel was to invite the penitent sinner to accept God's gift of spiritual and eternal life. To counter Ezekiel's unspoken excuse that they won't listen, the Lord sought to impress Ezekiel with the responsibility that had been placed upon him. Our text emphasizes the responsibility that Ezekiel had of proclaiming what we call the law. The possibility that people might reject the prophet's proclamation of God's law did not in any way exempt him from speaking to people about God's wrath and anger over sin. We should note here that the word iniquity or sin that is used in the statement that the wicked man who refuses to repent shall die in his iniquity is the word awon. Awon points to the guilt before God that results from continuous rebellion against God, from continuous transgressions and trespasses against the holy will of the holy God. Sin or iniquity points to the spiritual condition of a person who is unrepentant and unregenerate. The Lord strongly emphasizes that calling for repentance is a necessary task of a watchman of Israel. Failure to speak of God's anger over sin would make the watchman himself liable before God. In fact, failure to obey God's commands, failure to call people to accountability and responsibility before their Creator, failure to proclaim God's law would make one as guilty before God as a murderer. Failure to proclaim God's law in all its severity would also be symptomatic of the watchman's own improper attitude toward God, of the watchman's improper understanding of the nature of sin and of God's anger over sin. It would be symptomatic of the watchman's underestimating the dread consequences of a life without God, which ends in eternal death, eternal separation from the grace and forgiveness of the Almighty God. On the other hand, the watchman who carefully communicated the message of God's anger over sin and who extended to the sinner the invitation to accept God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life would give evidence of a proper attitude toward God and His word. Such a watchman would demonstrate an awareness of the eternal consequences of unrepented and unforgiven sin. Such a watchman would indicate that he himself had been led to spiritual life by the Spirit of God, working through God's holy word. Testament, the writer to the Hebrews, says that spiritual leaders watch over the souls of their people and are persons who will have to give an account. We shall all, one day, stand before the judgment throne of God, where God will evaluate our lives and render a final verdict. The thought of judgment, however, should not frighten the Christian. For the Christian believes that God has pardoned his guilt and iniquity for Christ's sake. The Christian should be comforted through the promises of spiritual and eternal life that have been given to him by God himself. Our motivation for service as God's spiritual leaders in the church militant is not to be fear of punishment, but rather God's mercy, love, and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. We need to remember, on the one hand, that though we are believers, we are also still sinners. We are accountable to God. We are responsible for our sins. We also need to remember that, as believers, we are already now saints before God, whom he has declared righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has atoned for our sins, trespasses, and iniquities. We should desire, as God's people, to listen to God's complete counsel. We should, as God's watchmen, learn to exhort and encourage one another through sharing with one another the message through which the Holy Spirit convicts and comforts us. The claim to be one of God's watchmen does indeed carry a number of important implications. God's watchmen are to be aware that they have been called by God. We have to proclaim the entire counsel of God, both threat and promise. The very law and gospel they communicate is to be effective in their own lives before God. As believers, God's watchmen have to remember that they are both sinner and saint on this side of the grave. While God's watchmen are indeed accountable to God, their account has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. As long as God gives them physical life and breath, we are to proclaim God's complete message boldly, courageously, and with conviction. May the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, enlighten, enable, and empower us to be such watchmen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.